Well, speaking of channeling, as you probably know, each of us is going to read a poem by one of our members who has passed. So I hope that as I read Anita Byerly's poem, think of Anita as I read. It's kind of a neat experience to be able to hear someone's words from past. I'm reading Dandelions. Bright blossoms basking in the sun. You offer leaves for salad greens, tops for dandelion wine, then change to pale gauze lightly lifted by the wind. Poor maligned flower, cursed for your fecundity. If you had bloomed but once each year, at midnight on the 1st of August, crowds would wait for your appearance. The press would send photographers. Your zest for life dooms you, but I can think of no more lovely sight than suns scattered across an emerald sky, moons rising unexpectedly. Now for my first one, I'd like to dip into my science background a bit. If it gets a little hairy in the middle, I apologize, but I do hope you'll hang with it, because at the end I think we'll all think that you'll see that we fit in the same place. It's called, If You Think You Understand, You Don't. When I was six or seven, I'd lie awake for hours, pondering the endlessness of time and space. Mother told me she did too. Advised a glass of milk, lukewarm. I didn't listen. I read books instead. Did the math, some labs in science class. Observed magnetic fields with little compasses, the field of gravity and planetary orbits. Wondered, what's a field? E is mc squared, so everything is energy. But what is energy? I see it in the falling leaves, the mover and the moved. But as we split it ever finer, find that it's the rise and fall of waves and fields of gravity and light and Higgs, the sloshing back and forth of possibility in quantum seas of nothingness. Energy seems like a ghost banging about in space-time, building stars and worlds from what? From mathematics? So if this universe of matrix math inflated from a bubble in the quantum froth, the froth, that seething ocean of uncertainty, must be what stretches on forever. Forever is what had me staring into midnight 60 years ago. And is this carrying okay? Okay. As many of you know, my wife, Claudia, is now in an Alzheimer's facility, and a lot of my recent poetry has reflected that. This is one of those. It seems a little self-centered to me when I think about it a little bit, but still. And for this one, please pay attention to the title, because it's important. The title is Close Enough. Back from the nursing home, dreary, dejected, I collapse on the couch, crawl under the afghan. The sun rains on my eyelids, hot. Alice leaps onto my stomach, circles, flops. Dissatisfied, circles some more. I think she's stomping grapes in hobnailed boots. At last, she settles. Her two green suns rise above my horizon. She snuffs cool breezes up my nose. With a cotton ball paw, pats my cheek. Satisfied, hums us both to sleep. She must have heard me mutter my need for a female companion. Assumed I meant the cat kind. I recently remarked to someone that one of my ancestors must have mated with a cork tree, because even in the direst times, I keep bobbing back up. seems to me that the poems at the end of this should bob back up too. So here's bob number one. It's called Bib Overalls. High fashion for coeds in 74, not with brown speckles around the cuffs from herding 12 cows to their stalls, not thin at the knee from pitching hay or grease-stained from oily wrenches. These flashed intriguing brass buttons northeast and northwest of her sternum, provocative bulges at Berkeley and Boston. Sufficiently sexy, rebellious enough in a peer-reviewed way, high tide of the flow of campus excesses. Not a stitch up to the cheeks last year. Today it's denim to the chin. And ugly as hell, the old guys grumped in the barber shop, remembering shorter skirts and better days. I remember a big-boned girl giant stepping through the snow in the miniest of miniskirts. Her bright red thighs reminded me of an ostrich farm in winter. Perhaps she was a rural girl, longing for bib overalls. And I'm sorry that Gene Shang isn't here, because this last poem is Gene Shang's fault. It's called Acupuncture. The lady's hair, Gene Shang recalls, was a snow-white ball, a dandelion gone to seed. Her worry, though, was her memory. So she turned to an ancient cure, acupuncture at Bei Huai, the center of energy. His tale doesn't tell how her memory fared, but at that point on the top of her head, five glossy black strands from her childhood cascade sprouted once more like a fountain of youth. I wonder what it might do for me. But Gene Shang grins at my gleaming pink pate, doubts that China has enough needles. So I wear my broad-brimmed substitute for hair as I potter on the slope of my vertical yard, pluck dandelions, vines, and foreign grass from the mostly myrtled slope. Sprouting in the middle, five purple-headed, bristle-armed thistles bow stiffly to the wind. I'd pull them, but nestled in their spiky bosom is a hornet nest. And hornets know acupuncture, too. Someday, maybe, when I'm feeling old, I'll yank out the thistles, fling the hat, bow my head, and see what happens. Our next reader is Marilyn Marsh Noel.